Barb Magellan, and you're listening to Strange Brew, with unusual facts, random information, and trivia from Mental Floss Online, and far-fetched, not-at-all-factual news stories from The Onion Online. These readings may be irreverent and could, on occasion, contain language and content that some might find offensive. I hope you'll enjoy the program. Tonight, let's start with a story from mentalfloss.com. Animals. Francis Maurice the Rooster faces noise complaints in court, by Jake Rawson, September 2019. Call it cock-a-doodle due process. After being dragged into a French court over complaints that his early morning crowing was a nuisance, Maurice the Rooster has been vindicated. This week, a judge ruled the bird has every right to follow his natural instincts and crow his little tail off. The decision, handed down this week, ends what had been a lengthy and pun-filled struggle between Maurice's owner and her neighbor on Île de l'Oléron, an island in western France. For 2 years, residents of the area asserted Corinne Fesseau was liable for the public disturbance caused by her rooster. A couple who had a second home on the island complained that Maurice, who had hatched in July 2017, would rise at 6:30 a.m. each morning to crow. They insisted that Fesseau needed to quell the racket by relocating the bird or having him be made to shut up, according to The Guardian. While the latter carries somewhat sinister implications, Fesseau was not willing to comply. The pair sued, which ignited a storm of controversy in France over whether urban citizens with vacation homes had cause to complain over the cacophony of the rural area. In his ruling, the judge indicated Maurice was situated in his natural surroundings and was therefore not expected to conform to any sensibilities but his own. Maurice's lawyer, Julien Papineau, told gathered press that the bird could not be penalized simply for doing what roosters do. "This rooster was not being unbearable," Papineau said. "He was just being himself." For his victory, Maurice can continue to greet the morning on his own terms. He and Corinne Fesseau were also awarded $1,100 in damages. From mentalfloss.com, pop culture. Mattel is releasing a Day of the Dead Barbie doll, by Garen Pernia, September 2019. Barbie may be celebrating her 60th birthday, but she looks as fresh-faced today as she did when she first emerged from her box in the spring of 1959. In celebration of Barbie's new sexagenarian status, Mattel, the toy company that has sold more than a billion Barbie dolls, is releasing a range of limited-edition Barbies, including Rosa Parks, Sally Ride, and David Bowie dolls. Now, according to USA Today, the company is getting into the autumnal spirit with its latest collectible, a Día de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, Barbie. Retailing for $75, the doll will be sold on Amazon and at Target and Walmart stores beginning tomorrow, September 12th. The doll honors the traditions, symbols, and rituals often seen throughout this time, Mattel told CNN. Día de los Muertos is celebrated primarily in Mexico from October 31st to November 2nd and is a day to pay tribute to those who have passed on, who supposedly return for a brief visit of their own. Barbie has always been known for her excellent fashion sense, and she is dressed for this occasion wearing a black ruffled dress embroidered with monarch butterflies as well as yellow and red marigolds. The Día de los Muertos Barbie's face is painted as a traditional Day of the Dead skull mask, and she's decked out with a headpiece featuring marigolds and more monarchs. The butterflies are symbolic. Every winter in Mexico, billions of monarch butterflies descend into the mountains and forests in Mexico. Because they arrive at the beginning of Day of the Dead, some people believe that the insects are carrying the spirits of the dearly departed with them. From mentalfloss.com, big questions. Does the full moon really make people act crazy? By Aaron McCarthy, September 2019. Along with Mercury in retrograde, the full moon is a pretty popular scapegoat for bad luck and bizarre behavior. Encounter someone acting strangely? Blame it on the lunar phases. It's said that crime rates increase and emergency rooms are much busier during the full moon, though a 2004 study debunked this claim. Plus, there's that whole werewolf thing. Why would this be? The reasoning is that the moon, which affects the ocean's tides, probably exerts a similar effect on us, because the human body is made mostly of water. This belief that the moon influences behavior is so widely held, reportedly even 80% of nurses and 64% of doctors think it's true, according to a 1987 paper published in the Journal of Emergency Medicine, that in 2012, a team of researchers at Université Laval's School of Psychology in Canada decided to find out if mental illness and the phases of the moon are linked. To test the theory, the researchers evaluated 771 patients who visited emergency rooms at two hospitals in Montreal between March 2005 and April 2008. The patients chosen complained of chest pains, which doctors could not determine a medical cause for those pains. Many of the patients suffered from panic attacks, anxiety and mood disorders, or suicidal thoughts. When the researchers compared the time of the visits to the phases of the moon, they found that there was no link between the incidence of psychological problems and the four lunar phases, with one exception. In the last lunar quarter, anxiety disorders were 32% less frequent. This may be coincidental or due to factors we did not take into account, Dr. Genevieve Belleville, who directed the team of researchers, said. But one thing is certain. We observed no full moon or new moon effect on psychological problems. So rest easy, or maybe not. If people seem to act crazy during the full moon, their behavior is likely pretty similar during the rest of the lunar cycle as well. Have you got a big question you'd like us to answer? If so, let us know by emailing us at bigquestions@mentalfloss.com. From mentalfloss.com, Book Corner. Tennessee school bans Harry Potter books because the spells could conjure evil spirits. By Ellen Gutowski, September 2019. Parents of students at St. Edward Catholic School in Nashville will have to pass down their Harry Potter obsession without the help of the school library. The Tennessean reports that Reverend Dan Rehill, a pastor at the parish school, has ordered that the series be removed from the library in response to a parent's inquiry. The curses and spells used in the books are actual curses and spells, which, when read by a human being, risk conjuring evil spirits into the presence of the person reading the text, Rehill wrote in an email to teachers. Rehill also explained in the email that although the books represent magic as good and evil, that's just a clever deception, and argued that magic is inherently malevolent. He consulted exorcists in the U.S. and Rome, who advised that the book should be removed from the library. The Catholic Church doesn't have an official stance on whether Harry Potter is suitable for its members. According to The Guardian, a Vatican spokesperson in 2003 maintained that the content was in line with Christian morals, but the books have frequently been banned by individual institutions over the course of the last couple of decades. Rebecca Hamill, the superintendent of schools for the Catholic Diocese of Nashville, told the Tennessean that Rehill was well within his authority to ban the books, since each pastor has canonical authority to make such decisions for his parish school. She added that parents could still introduce the series to their children outside of school. Do Harry Potter spells actually work, as Rehill suggested? Ask the nearest Potterhead how many times they've muttered Expecto Patronum, Expelliarmus, or another Latin-based incantation to no avail. From MentalFloss.com, Pop Culture. How Sesame Street Dealt with 9/11 by Mental Floss UK, Louisa Miller, September 2019. When Sesame Street's 33rd season went to air a few months after September 11, 2001, the show's creators knew they had to acknowledge that day's tragic events. The beloved educational show had a reputation for talking honestly to its young audience about difficult subjects, from grief to bullying, divorce, and racism. This would be no different. It was a devastating time for all of us, Rosemarie Truglio, the show's senior vice president of education and curriculum, recalled. We felt we needed to do something in response to 9/11, but we knew we had to be very careful because our viewers are so young and parents are returning to educational programming as a safe haven for kids. The key question was how to help preschoolers understand the aftermath of a terrorist attack without scaring them further. Metaphors were the answer. Rather than depict an attack on the streets of Manhattan, Sesame Street's creators depicted a kitchen fire breaking out in Hooper's store. No flames were shown, only smoke. The sequence advised children on safe behavior when witnessing a fire, to tell a grown-up, evacuate, or stay low and go and alert the fire department. But the real message came in the aftermath of the fire. Sesame Street used its youngest, most vulnerable character, Elmo, to help children through their anxiety. As the firefighters, real-life members of the Fire Department of New York, made the store safe again, Elmo was shown shaking and traumatized by the smoke, the flashing lights, and strange firefighting equipment. He never wanted to go back to Hooper's store again. But he did, thanks to some patient advice from a friendly FDNY employee named Bill, who gently explained the purpose of his protective clothing and taught Elmo that no matter how scary they might look, firefighters are there to help. An educational visit to the firehouse and a ride on an engine later, and Elmo was back to feeling safe again. From MentalFloss.com, Environment. McDonald's is testing out plastic-free restaurants in Germany and Canada. By Ellen Gutowski, September 2019. The public pressure on corporations to adopt sustainable practices grows stronger by the day, but there's no manual on how exactly they should do it. To give itself some room to experiment before committing to a global rollout, McDonald's is testing out plastic-free restaurants in Germany and Canada. Food and Wine reports that the first location to go green was a McDonald's in Germany's Mall of Berlin, which the burger behemoth dubbed the Better McDonald's store for 10 days in June. While some changes were pretty standard, paper straws and wooden cutlery replaced their plastic counterparts, for example, others demonstrated a commendable level of creativity. Condiments came in edible waffle cups, and burgers were served in wrapping made from actual grass. According to a press release, the Berlin trial was a way of allowing customers and stakeholders to contribute to the discussion and provide feedback so McDonald's could adjust its large-scale game plan accordingly. Normally, McDonald's goes out with perfect solutions, Diana Wicht, the sustainability department head for McDonald's Germany, explained in the press release. This time we said, we don't have perfect solutions yet. Please help us. Unsurprisingly, customers did have some thoughts. The grass packaging was a straightforward success, and the waffle cups had a fair number of fans too, though some felt the shape of the cups would be better optimized for dipping McNuggets. Straws presented more of a conundrum because most people acknowledge that while plastic straws are evil, paper straws disintegrate too quickly to be a workable solution. Some customers suggested completely eliminating straws for patrons dining in the restaurant simply by serving lidless drinks. Wooden cutlery, however, was a flop. One of every two customers surveyed said it tasted woody. Overall, McDonald's deemed the experiment a success and has opened two comparable stores in Ontario and British Columbia to gauge Canadian customers' responses. The fast food giant has also sprinkled smaller sustainability changes in other stores around the globe. McDonald's Canada swapped out its napkins for smaller ones manufactured from recycled fibers. And McDonald's UK is in the process of ditching plastic McFlurry lids and replacing plastic salad containers with recyclable cardboard versions. Hopefully, the McDonald's sustainability overhaul will also lead to the invention of a McFlurry machine that doesn't break down so often. And now, let's move on to some outrageous and totally bogus news from TheOnion.com. From TheOnion.com, sports news in brief. Indianapolis Motor Speedway forced to lower speed limit to 20 miles per hour after elementary school opens next to the straightaway. September 10, 2019, Indianapolis. Capping off weeks of protests from local parents and students alike, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was forced to lower its speed limit to 20 miles per hour Tuesday after an elementary school opened next to the straightaway. If any IndyCar motorists are found speeding near Lincoln Elementary between the hours of 7 a.m. and 4 p.m., or otherwise while children are present, they will be fined and prosecuted to the highest extent of the law, said Indy 500 spokesperson Tara Kissel, adding the school, which was built on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway's spectator mound, caters to hundreds of 6 to 10-year-olds who must cross the racetrack Monday through Friday to get to class, regardless of the race schedule. We understand that parents are concerned, especially given the history of reckless 200-mile-per-hour driving that occurs near the school crosswalks. That is why, if any driver is caught disobeying a crossing guard or passing a school bus in the drop-off lane, fines will be doubled. At press time, IndyCar drivers were reportedly up in arms after a rogue basketball rolled onto the speedway during the school's recess and caused a fiery 12-car crash. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. Liberal parents struggling to find school district with high-quality drag queens. September 13, 2019, Norfolk, Virginia. Saying it was never too early to begin instilling the values they believe in, liberal parents Christopher and Stacy Castaneda confirmed Friday that they were struggling to find a school district with high-quality drag queens. We're committed to finding a school system that has well-paid, skilled drag queens who can provide our son with the kind of education he needs to be successful, said Christopher, adding that the child's current school has a ratio of only one drag queen for every 32 students, leaving little time for one-on-one instruction. We want Caleb to have access to a wide variety of styles, fish drag, camp queens, active vessels, not just the same old busted Tina Turner impersonator he has now. Ideally, we'd have him in a drag queen immersion program, but at the very least, we want a district where it's a core part of the curriculum. Stage presence and wow factor are a must, and if the queen is bilingual, that's even better. At press time, the parents announced plans to enroll Caleb in private school after witnessing St. Edward's Academy's absolutely stunning autumn drag pageant. From TheOnion.com, news in brief. Marianne Williamson materializes on stage in cloud of purple smoke with message that DNC polling requirements no match for power of positive thinking. September 12, 2019, Houston. Startling the 10 candidates who qualified to participate in the event, Marianne Williamson materialized on the debate stage in a puff of purple smoke, Thursday, proclaiming the Democratic National Committee's polling requirements were no match for the power of positive thinking. The DNC thinks I need to get at least 2% in 4 qualifying polls, but they think so small, said the author and presidential hopeful, who announced that by unlocking a deep and powerful mental space at the core of her being, she could participate in the debate at Texas Southern University despite having failed to meet the narrow-minded threshold set by party leaders. By avoiding all negative thoughts and putting mind over matter, I have been able to transcend mere material concerns such as poll numbers. While I don't have the necessary support of voters, I do have something far more valuable, a profound belief in the oneness of all living things. At press time, sources confirmed a podium of pure light had sprung up before Williamson as she began to answer a question from George Stephanopoulos about how she would respond as president to an economy on the brink of recession. From TheOnion.com, News in Brief. New pop-up national park offers 500 square feet of pristine wilderness for the next 2 days, September 11, 2019, Atlantic City, New Jersey. With its organizers hailing the temporary site as the city's hottest destination this week, a new pop-up national park offers 500 square feet of pristine wilderness for the next 2 days, sources confirmed Wednesday. Starting bright and early this morning and continuing through dusk tomorrow, the best Instagram opportunity in the city will be the Pavati National Park with its 0.0000017935 square miles of scenic vistas, 15-foot-long hiking trails, and over 10 species of flora and fauna, said pop-up organizer Kellen D'Agostino, showing off the national park's choice location just minutes from the Atlantic City boardwalk, adding that he was planning to tour the site through select cities so urban dwellers across the country could take in the beauty of America's natural world. For a limited time and just a $50 entrance fee, visitors can breathe in the fresh air while walking between the pop-up park's dozen mountain hemlocks, or relax next to the gorgeous 3-foot waterfall in its northwest corner. There's a little salmon run, too, as well as sage grouses, bald eagles, a moose, and a variety of other amazing animals you'll be able to photograph from a safe distance. Of course, communing with nature doesn't mean you have to sacrifice comfort and fun. Our pop-up park includes an artisanal small bites station, 3 mini bars, coat check, and even a cozy cabin one lucky couple can book for the night. Just don't feed hors d'oeuvres to the animals. Arrive early, because we're capping the national park at 30 people at a time. You do not want to miss the exclusive national park event of the fall. At press time, the pop-up national park had been ordered to close after a bear escaped and mauled several pedestrians in the middle of North Albany Avenue. From TheOnion.com, News in Brief. Rowdy Grandma Double-Fisting Grandchildren. September 11, 2019, Valdosta, Georgia. Urging the feisty senior to pace herself, concerned Jackson family sources confirmed Wednesday that rowdy grandmother Arlene Jackson was seen careening around her son-in-law's birthday party, double-fisting grandchildren. Nana's got her arms so full of grandbabies that she's practically falling over. She needs to slow down, said Jackson's daughter, Olivia, echoing the sentiments of other adult party guests as they witnessed the manic 77-year-old cover her infant grandson with kisses before moving on to pinch the cheeks of 4 other grandchildren. She already had both of my nieces on her lap when she snatched baby Charlie out of my hands. We told her to take it easy, but she stamped over and loud whispered that she knows her limits. I mean, other people want to see the kids, too, but Arlene is not handing them over. Jackson was later seen slumped over in a recliner with several toddlers strewn about her feet, evidently passed out after several hours of binge kissing. From TheOnion.com News in Brief. Self-esteem built up at theater camp to get shy student through first 6 minutes of school year. August 26, 2019. Quincy, Massachusetts. Exhausting his reserves of confidence well before first period roll call, student Logan Mahaffey found the self-esteem he painstakingly acquired during summer theater camp could only get him through his first 6 minutes of the school year, the seventh grader admitted Monday. "If I can play the lead in Jesus Christ Superstar, there's nothing I can't do," said Mahaffey, mere moments before a classmate threw a water bottle at his head after noticing him whistling the tune to I Got Rhythm. "Up on that stage, I felt like I was truly myself for the first time, and now I know I can conquer anything. I can't wait to tell everyone about the things they will mercilessly torment me about for the rest of the school year, using my enthusiasm for theater as a rationale to exclude me from all social functions." At press time, Mahaffey was unaware that tomorrow's pummeling from classmates for wearing an Anything Goes cast T-shirt would have a much greater impact on his self-esteem. From TheOnion.com News in Brief. Long-time sleepy time tea addict has to use 6 bags just to feel drowsy. September 10, 2019, Lexington, Kentucky. Admitting that she may have a dependency issue with the soothing Celestial Seasonings herbal infusion, longtime sleepy time tea addict Katie Ball divulged Tuesday that she must consume 6 bags of the sedative brew in order to merely feel drowsy. "I started using sleepy time to treat insomnia, which worked great for a while. But before I realized what was happening, I needed more and more of that chamomile and valerian root magic to get me to the level of relaxation I craved," said Ball, whose hands shook while placing half a dozen bags of the caffeine-free herbal sleep aid into her preferred mug and paced the room while waiting for the kettle to boil. "I can barely even close my eyes if I'm not riding a hit of spearmint and lemongrass. I'm spending hundreds of bucks a month. If I don't get my sleepy time, I become agitated and hyper-alert. I've even snorted raw chamomile leaves a couple times, even though I know what that could do to me." Ball, who has often told those close to her that she intended to stop her sleepy time use cold turkey, was discovered unconscious by her husband late Tuesday night, her hand still clutching a 120-tablet bottle of melatonin pills. From TheOnion.com Sports News in Brief. Stephen A. Smith retreats to tranquil, secluded fig tree to contemplate on meaning of NFL Week 1. September 10, 2019, New York. Sitting silently cross-legged as the light breeze and rhythmic breathing focused his mind, ESPN analyst Stephen A. Smith retreated to a tranquil, secluded fig tree on Tuesday to contemplate the meaning of the NFL's first week. "The great mysteries of Baker Mayfield's performance still elude me. I must focus my mind and calm my soul if I am to truly understand," said Smith, who claimed that the answer to whether the Seahawks were real contenders was already inside of him and just needed patience to be unlocked. "Only through quiet meditation will these truths be revealed to me, and my week 2 picks will only result from the kind of clarity that comes from deep solitude. The NFL is filled with chaos and suffering, but the unburdened soul will parse out how it is all connected." At press time, after hours of meditation, Smith's third eye had opened and delivered to him the perfect rebuttal that would finally shut up that squirrely prick, Max Kellerman. And that's all we have time for tonight. You've been listening to Strange Brew, with stories from September 2019 Mental Floss and August and September 2019 TheOnion.com. I hope you enjoyed the program and you'll tune in again next Friday for more Strange Brew. Until then, this is Barb Magella wishing you a good evening and a great week.